I'm just going to pray with you before you start.
Thank
okay.
You, yeah.
Father God, we just thank you for Denise's heart, Lord. I just pray as she shares with us this morning, it'll be your message that we receive, Father God. Bless us mightily as we're here now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. I couldn't have picked those choruses better, really, if I'd have been choosing them myself, which I didn't, but they're a real blessing. And thank you, Eddie. That was very encouraging as well. I think the nation needs a word like that. Anyway, good morning. It's good to be with you. A couple of weeks ago, Mark gave a message about being disappointed and the emotions and choices we can make at those times. It really spoke to me. My message, stroke testimony, I think I could say, is a follow-on in many ways from his message. I was not sure at first whether to continue with this, but when I asked Father, he wanted me to continue, so I carried on drafting this message. I believe that Father wants us to share honestly and be real with each other about how we apply his word to our lives when going through trials, so hopefully we can encourage and give hope to those around us whom he loves. Can I have my first slide, please? Now, I've given this message a title. It's How to Remain Standing. Now, Jed did a study on this book of James a while ago, and it is a powerful book to read and study. It has a lot to say about how we should act when we are going through trials. Slide 2, please. Now, James 1, 2-4, and this verse is very pertinent to this message. It says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." So, let me set the scene. Now, I have a habit, a good one, which I have put into practice over the years of praying, reading the word, giving thanks, and speaking the word over my husband and myself, our children, our grandchildren, my mother, my brothers and sisters, friends, and a church family. I do this to develop a relationship with God, as I want to know him better, and I obviously want to bring people I care for before Father to ask for his grace, his healing, and blessing on them, because we have been instructed by God himself to do this as well. So, it was on one of these very ordinary mornings that I began to my prayer time. I don't know about you, but I have my list on my desk. I'm a list girl. So I don't forget to pray, to have any prayer requests and add them to my normal list. I was working my way down that list when I came to a set of prayers that I'd been praying for a long time, years in fact. And I became very frustrated at the lack of what I perceived as unanswered prayer. I said, I don't know why I keep doing this, spending all this time in prayer. Nothing ever happens. Nothing has ever changed. I went on. Instead of praying, I was complaining. Now, did I notice any red lights flashing? Did I hear any warning signs and warning bells? No. I forgot all about the Israelites murmuring and having to walk around the desert for 40 years. No, I just foolishly went on complaining. I suppose you could say at this point I was questioning God's faithfulness to my prayers. No, I don't recommend this type of praying. I just really don't. Instead of asking for forgiveness for my ungratefulness, I finished praying, or should I say complaining, and I went on with the rest of my day. Now it seemed like no time had passed at all before the Lord showed me very clearly why those set of prayers had not been answered. And it was very clear that it had nothing to do with God's faithfulness to my prayers. I didn't need a four-part sermon or a fanfare to clearly see what the issue was. And for me, unfortunately, it was a life-changing event. Now, I don't say this lightly, as I know that there are people in our church who have really been fighting for their jobs. Some are and have been fighting for their lives against ill health. Some are struggling with eyesight issues, working through challenges with their children and grandchildren, as I have recently. And it is hard and sometimes life-changing. But it does seem from God's word that nothing happens by chance in our lives. Even Satan has to ask for permission for God to test us, as he did when he challenged God about Job. Now, at this point, the stress and emotional upset made me feel ill. In fact, it made me ill. So I not only had the issue to deal with, but I had to contend with being ill too. I want to make it very clear, though, I do not believe God caused this issue to happen in my life. But it was a person's choices that had caused the unanswered prayer. I know for sure that God loves me. He sent his son to die for me and wants to do me good. He wants to give me a hope and a future. But other people make poor choices, which affect us and can cause us much pain, great hurt and confusion. I, at this point, went through a huge range of emotions at this point. Disbelief, shock, anger, rage. I was more than disappointed. I wanted to hit out of the injustice of it all. I felt vengeful, and all sorts of emotions assailed me. Now, emotions aren't bad in themselves. We are given our emotions by God, and they serve to protect us and to help us. But, and there is a but, we need not to allow them to overwhelm us so that we forget the word of God. I had a battle on between what my flesh wanted and what my heart knew was right. Now the Lord reminded me that in John 16:33, it says, "In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Now, I can't say I was in good cheer at this point, but I knew God well enough to turn to him in my turmoil for help, because Father tells us in Psalm 46 that he will be our ever-present help in times of trouble. Now, a while after God showed me the problem, he asked me if I was okay with him showing me the issue, and I said, "Well, it is best it's out in the open and transparent, then the issue can be addressed." Now remember this, as I'm going to refer to it later. Now, there are a few choices here we can make as Christians. When the storms and trials come in, we can blame God for them. Now, I often hear this from people I assess for the Silver Cord Befriending Service. I often hear this from people I when I used to complete the assessments for the service, I would explain that it is a Christian-centered service, that I am a Christian, and that the volunteers who deliver the service are Christians. Many of the people say, "Oh, I used to go to church, but this happened." Well, that happened. And I believe that if God had really loved me, this would not have happened. Or if there was an all-powerful God, he would not have let this happen. Forgetting that he has given people free choice, and they don't always make the right choices. And this has a bearing on what happens in life. The sad thing is, these people are still blaming God decades later, which is a real shame. I often wanted to say that the Good Shepherd has brought me to you because he knows your heart, but he still loves you and wants you to experience his love even now. But of course, We need to spend time and love people until we earn the right to talk into these people's lives. And this often takes time and patience. People can easily forget in times of trial that in John 10 it says that the thief, Satan, comes only. Yes, he comes only ever to steal, kill and destroy. But Jesus has come that we may have life and have it to the full. Not just a bit of life, but have it to the full. Jesus is the good shepherd. Sometimes people stop attending church, reading the word and praying too. And this is playing into Satan's hands, as he likes to isolate us from God and the church family. But I am grateful to him that through past trials, I have learned not to do this. So I turned to the Lord in my confusion and asked him to help me, as I had not come across this issue before and I didn't know where to turn or what to do. I found that I now had to challenge this person's choices because they affected me as well as them, which was really hard. But they felt that I was making a fuss about nothing, and their choices were okay. And most people acted that way, and it was because I was a Christian that I was making a fuss. How many times in our Christian lives do people say this to us, if I had a pound for every time? Slide 3. I spoke to Father about this, and he reminded me that in Romans 12:2 it says this: do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. I have to say that the Lord gave me great, and I would say really supernatural courage, as in the end I had to keep challenging the choices, giving them every opportunity to do the right thing and make, as their choices were still impacting on me. I continued to pray with my family and my prayer partner, and the Lord led me to putting a boundary in place so that the person's choices would not involve me. And I was so grateful to Father for showing me the psychology of this, as I did not understand this way of looking at choices. During this time, though, I also had a battle on with my flesh and doing the right thing. I can't say that every day I got up and I felt like doing the right thing. Slide 4. But I know in Ephesians 12, it reminds me that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. But I was tempted at this time, to be honest, to take revenge. Have you ever been there when you've been really hurt? But as Father says, that would only make you like them, and you would be not acting out of who you really are. And what would that really achieve? Sorry, I'm going to turn the page. He said, Denise, if you can't look in the mirror and see yourself as my daughter, you have lost your way. And I believe he's right. He also required me to forgive the person. And I really struggled with this until Father pointed out that I would lose power if I didn't. He told me that it would impact on my prayer life and it would make my prayers lose power when I was praying for my family and my church family. Now, I have to say, it was a lot easier then to forgive, as I didn't want to leave these people unprotected by my prayers. I have to say the Holy Spirit is an excellent counselor here. I said to the Father at this point, I don't know why I haven't collapsed at this point, can you put slide 5? Here it is. I don't know if you can see that. That's a tree. I asked my husband to take a picture of this when we were out walking one day. That tree looks massive when it was down, but when Brian and I looked at the roots, the roots weren't just cut straight. The roots had been wrenched apart, and it must have taken a really big storm to actually topple this tree. When we looked at it, I just thought, I don't know how I haven't ended up like that tree. But then the Lord explained that during all the years, the boring everyday years that you do this, that I had made time for prayer, Bible study and worship, this had enabled my roots to go deep, building a firm foundation in my life, like slide 6, if you can see. There you go. You don't really realize when you are praying and reading the word on an everyday basis, just what you're achieving. You don't actually see this happening, but you certainly know when you're in trouble. My roots had gone deep enough to hold me, even though, in all honesty, I could feel the upper building sway and really put the strain on those roots. Fortunately, they held, praise God. One thing I have learned through this experience is that we can be totally honest with God about how we feel. One day I said to Father, why can't I just get over this? Why does this hurt so much? He said, because you trusted and your trust was betrayed. It was a foundation in your life more than me. And that is not the way around it should be. I was shocked by that. As if anyone had asked me, I would have said it was the opposite was true. But of course, Father went on to explain in a loving way, we often believe God has first place, but our actions don't always bear that out. God is good, as he was always willing to guide us in our walk with him. The 7th slide, please. As I moved on through these trials, I was reading the word when the Lord reminded me of this scripture. And I know you know this. In Romans 8:28, it says, and we know that in all things God works for good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Now that is easy to read, but when all hell breaks out, I said to Jesus, how can you work this for good in my life? And he quickly said, look at me, Denise. Now, in my heart, I looked and there he was on the cross. And he reminded me that he was verbally abused. He was accused of actions he had not taken. He was whipped for speaking the truth till his flesh was torn and bleeding. A crown of thorns dug into his head. He was then nailed to the cross and left to die a horrible death. Then Father said to me, I worked even this for good for many. And I thought, yes, Lord, if you can work that for good, you can surely work this for good in my life. Val, my prayer partner for many years, and I talked and prayed about asking for help from professionals along this journey. And we came to the conclusion that God gives Christian doctors and nurses and other Christian professionals to work for good in people's lives. So it must be his will to use them. The Lord spoke to me actually a short time later about this. And I have read this story in the Word so many times and it didn't stand out till the Lord showed me. Coming up to Easter, we're probably going to read this again, but it says this. Jesus did not have enough strength left to carry his cross to the site of the crucifixion. He needed help. Simon was pressed into carrying the cross for Jesus, and it does not say that Jesus said, it's all right, Simon, I can do it myself. I am the Son of God. It doesn't say anything like that. I checked in 3 Gospels to make sure. He just accepted the help as he obviously needed it to. Recently, Father explained that he gave permission for Christ to go to the cross. It was all his plan. It's hard to take it in. We're going up to Easter and we will review all this again. But it's hard to take in the suffering that Christ went through. Just because we're Christians doesn't mean to say that we will not go through trials as well. as I continued to walk the path of addressing the issue, the Lord encouraged me not to allow Satan to steal my peace, my joy, my health. I needed to continue to trust him and walk his path no matter what things looked like in the natural. I had to trust God, and I was amazed at how difficult I found it. It meant so much to me that I was afraid to let it go and let God deal with it. It's silly, really, as I can't control it anywhere. But I journeyed on. It was like Chris Gill said when she gave her testimony, Satan put the thought into her mind and made her afraid to go into the treatment room to have her investigation. She was required to undergo treatment. She was required to undergo. Now, she could have given in to her fears, but because of her long-standing relationship with Jesus, she spotted where the attack was coming from, and she made the choice to fight, and she began to quietly worship Jesus, setting the armies of God to deal with the evil one. Now, God dwells in the praise of his people. She said, when her name was called, she did not walk into the room. She said she marched into the investigation room. She had won the battle as she had worshipped, and the armies of God were set to flight. This is what I found. When we focus on the goodness of God through worship and speaking the word, it enables us to be victorious in battle. Now, we've been singing about this all morning, haven't we? The Lord encouraged me to thank him for everything. As I walked or drove to work, or if I found my thoughts dwelling on the problem, and like Chris, I found that I would more often than win the battle if I worshipped and praised. It also became easier the more I did it. It was the same, really, wasn't it, for the disciple Peter, when he got out of the boat and walked towards Jesus in the storm. As long as Peter kept his eyes on Jesus, he walked on the water. When he looked at the storm, he began to sink. I think it's the same for us. Now, the Lord also brought me back to the day when he asked me if I was okay with what he had revealed to me. And I said that it was better that it was transparent and that I knew about the issue. And he said this, you know, Denise, I wanted to spare you this. My shoulders are bigger than yours. The issue would not have crushed me. I don't answer prayers quickly sometimes, as I am busy working out the details, so you don't have to. You need to continue to trust that I am working things out for good. God did work on this person's heart, and they apologized and they did change. I was going to say what I've learned, but the Lord says, don't say what you've learned, Denise. You're learning it. What am I learning? Well, I've learned a greater understanding of how to support people when they are hurting, a greater compassion. I've learned to be grateful and not complain. That it is vitally important to trust God and put his way first. Forgive. Don't hold on to anger, bitterness, and fear as we lose power. No matter what person, choose to forgive. Don't be led by our emotions. That God is faithful to our prayers, whether it looks like it or not. We need to be willing to wait on his timing. In our everyday life, we need to make reading the word, praying, and praising our top priority of the day. I don't need to know or deal with everything. Sometimes it's better to leave things to God at his shoulder. Worship is vital for victory. And I've got here, the greater the storm, the louder our song. Someone must have known what I was going to say. God wants to deal with you and let him change the other person. With God's help, we need to overcome evil with good. I have to say, The Lord, by His grace, His counseling and love, has enabled me to remain standing. That's it. Thank you.